From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we are back. It's a Thursday show, and I, for one, am happy to get back through this week. It's kind of getting back on track for me after having been away for a while. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host over at RGR Football. Check that out on YouTube if you want. The link will be here in the show notes.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Thank you for reading. And let's go ahead and I guess we have a little bit to talk about today, don't we?
Oh, you know, we can find something. I have a wish list maybe to go down if you're good with that.
Let's hear it.
Well, you know, as we talked about, was it yesterday or the day before that Tyreek Hill. I'll slow down here. Made the top 100, and that's great to see. But he is only one aspect of what's going to be the Mahomes West Coast offense. And I, for one, am really very interested to see how Andy Reid elects to take advantage of having a secondary, and maybe that's even selling Sammy Watkins short, but having a second deep threat to go with Tyreek and the things that opens up in this offense, you know, obviously with the arm that Mahomes possesses. So, I mean, your initial impression of what you want to see them tweak the offense towards.
You mean Mahomes has an arm?
Yeah. It's attached to his shoulder. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Just double checking. This actually, I wasn't going to do this question here, but this actually kind of plays into what you're asking. We had a mailbag question, and we're not doing a mailbag show, but the question was, what type of offense do you think they will use this year with Mahomes as the starter? Do you think it will be a West Coast version of the air raid? Do you think they may use a two running back set this year? I do think that it kind of – that is a great question that leads into what you're already discussing, though.
Yeah. I mean – you can call it. I think maybe, you know, calling in an air raid is going to be a stretch. It's still going to be Andy Reid. It's still going to be West Coast principles. But I think you're going to see a longer version of it. I think you're going to see a deeper version of it. I think you're going to see – I mean, even though Alex Smith upped his number of shots downfield last year a little bit, I think if I ran the numbers late in the season, and I want to say that – previous to 2017, he was taking about 2.3 shots downfield, and by that I mean 20 yards or deeper per game. And then last season, I want to say he was right up around 2.9, so almost three times a game he was taking shots downfield. I have to think that goes up to, what, four, five, maybe six with Mahomes?
You would have to think. And really, it's not the number of shots to me. It's the amount of times he hits them. And I think that goes up with Mahomes. I do think Mahomes is going to take more opportunities with it, but I also think Mahomes is going to hit it more.
Well, you know, and that brings up something. While I was gone on vacation, I had sporadic contact, and I would check in every now and then. And I saw somebody put a report up that today in OTA practice, Mahomes overthrew Tyreek Hill. And I went, wow, you don't really have to put that out very often.
No. No, that's not a regular occurrence, and you can't imagine that that's going to happen too often in a football game. Although, I will say, I do think it's going to happen more than people maybe expect that it will. Mm-hmm. Just because I do think that, you know, let's be fair, they're going to take more than a couple of, you know, they're going to take more than training camp to get on the same page.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's more of a process than that. It's, you can't just step into a guy that's been here 4 years and take over that spot and think that it's going to be quite that smooth, even though there is a certain a fairly high percentage of the offense that I think is going to be changing in terms of deeper combinations. I feel overall that what we're going to see in 2018 is going to be kind of a boom or bust, and bust isn't even the right word. Boom or trickle kind of offense. Whereas Alex Smith was so dependent on the intermediate pass, I think you're going to see more of Mahomes getting the screens. I personally feel like one of the best things that Sammy Watkins can do is bring the slant back into this offense. So I think you're going to see some shorter passes with the screens and hopefully a lot of slants and use that big body and that speed to advantage as well, putting that combination with the deeper passes. And really, I think the thing that's going to be left in the intermediary is really going to be carved out specifically for Travis Kelce.
Yeah, you would have to think so. I do want to say one more thing on overthrowing Tyreek Hill. There is one more thing that Mahomes can do that I think will help him. And with the arm he has, I do think he also has the touch and the accuracy. You can put a little bit more loft on the ball. When you get a kid that is running so far ahead of everybody else, you have the ability to put a little bit more air under it so he can run under it. And I do think that will help the situation with overthrowing him much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that plan too. And, you know, back to the question about the air raid version, the NFL air raid, whatever. I don't think it's going to go to that extreme. But if you take that for the core of what it is, I do think that we're going to see a lot of possibilities out of a four receiver set. And yeah, that precludes them to running single back. But I think the four receiver set's going to be interesting. And I want to see them continue to evolve.
Wait. Whoa. Back up. Are you feeling okay?
I'm just saying this is what I think is going to happen, not what I want to happen.
Okay, because you're talking about four receiver set and you want to pound the ball. So just trying to make sure you're still feeling okay.
My life is one long disappointment. Okay.
I mean, I know you went to Hawaii, but if you mellowed on the, is that what this is?
This is me getting a little more zen. Thank you to the ocean waves. About realizing that Andy does not agree with me as much as I complain. but no.
Trust me, folks. He does complain.
Plenty. I do complain. But there's still – I'm going to get to that later. There's still an opportunity there for me to get what I want too. But no, like the thing that struck me when we started – when you said the word air raid was just the depth and bulk of wide receiver assets on the field at once. And I don't like the empty backfield, and I'm pretty sure that is one thing that Andy Reid agrees with me on. I don't like empty backfields, especially for a young quarterback. So I think you are going to see a lot of single back. I think there's going to be a heavy rotation about who is that single back, but I see a lot of four wide receiver sets, and I want to see them in particular, find some variations with having Sammy Watkins out there as well of doing things off of the concept they showed in Dallas when they did that Hail Mary and got the blockers, tight ends down the field to be blockers for Tyreek Hill. I think there's more to be done there.
That wasn't a Hail Mary.
Okay. At least whatever
the name was. Of it, right. It was a what Hail Mary.
Okay. Sorry.
Hail Mary.
Okay.
I'm just throwing out there.
My point is I think there are wrinkles you can come off of that. And I think that particularly with this set of receivers, I think is something really interesting that needs to be explored. So
no, I agree. I think that there's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do with this group, especially when you have, you know, we've talked about Sammy Watkins. We talked about Tyreek Hill. We talked about Kareem Hunt. And I know you did mention Travis Kelce, but we really haven't talked about Travis Kelce in this offense.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And that's what we'll hit on next.
Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. BlueChew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness.
They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first free shipment when you use a special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So before I cut you off, you were just starting to get rolling on an idea about Travis Kelce.
I just think his I just think that his role in this offense is about to change. And people will tell me that I may be crazy, but in my mind, you don't bring in a player of Watkins' caliber without knowing that you're going to have to shift what Travis is doing. And I think it helps him. I'm not saying it is a bad thing. I'm thinking it helps Travis because it opens up more things for him to be able to do.
Well, in what specific way do you think it's changing?
Well, I just think that he's going to, I mean, he has owned the middle of the field. I'm not so sure that he will with Watkins there anymore. And I think that Watkins is going to draw more coverage away from Travis. You just can't stop all three of those guys. And you can't stop all three of them and then add in Kareem Hunt in the backfield. That's just not something you're going to be able to stop on a regular basis.
Well, I like where you're going, but what do you see him emphasizing then? Where does his role go to?
I don't know that it – okay. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know that his role specifically becomes something – I don't know that he gets a specific role. I just think that the coverages that he is going to see are going to be much different. When you had a guy like Alex Smith throwing to a Chris Conley or Albert Wilson, the defense is going to play that a lot differently than they're going to play Patrick Mahomes throwing to Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
It's you can't play the same type of defense. You can't play the same type of zones. You're going to have to double, and you're going to have to watch people over the top. And I think that's where Kelce's really going to eat is maybe not necessarily in the middle of the field, but in intermediate zones, and even outside the numbers. I mean, Mahomes' arm gives him the ability to throw anywhere.
Well, see, I like where you're going, and I agree with you. I expect with this group to see more cover two and to see more quarters. And I think the tight end is the guy, if you're playing cover two, that you want to look at. So rather than like the crossers that he ran so much in 2017, I'm looking for Travis Kelce to get the ball on a lot more seam routes, a lot more verticals up the field.
Well, and I could see that too. I guess I'm just looking at it as I think that they will leave that to Hill and Watkins. But at the same time, I can understand why they would use Kelce, because if you get a linebacker on him going on a seam route, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. I think I agree with you. I think he could eat quite well, especially when Andy likes to get those leveled route combinations so that everybody's got a little chunk of space that they're carving out for themselves. And with so much attention, like you said, placed on Hill and Watkins, splitting deep safeties is something that Travis Kelce can do better than even Gronkowski. He's the best tight end in the game at doing that. And I think in particular, it was a limitation on that particular route, seam, post, whatever you want to call it. I think it was a limitation playing with Alex Smith for Travis Kelce in particular on that area of the field that is going to be night and day with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, wait a second. What was that route that Mahomes threw on a third down, the first drive down the field?
The one to the receiver that will be named later?
Yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of, you know. I'm sorry. Demetrius Harris drives me insane. The guy catches the tough stuff and drops the easy stuff.
I wasn't trying to get you to go down that road.
I'm just saying.
No,
but yes, I feel what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, just a completely different. And Alex Smith is not putting that ball there.
Yeah.
He's not making that. Even with Travis Kelce. And I will argue this as well. I don't know that Mahomes should have put the ball there.
Right.
It worked out great, but that's also a great place to get your receiver whacked.
Well, that, and you can't trust Demetrius Harris.
Well, there's that, but you have to trust the players that you have.
I know. But here's the second thing that this whole conversation takes me to. Yes, Travis Kelce is going to get some very, very good opportunities, I think, with all the draw of the defense in other directions. But I think the guy who stands to maybe be the best option in terms of outlet, in terms of hot routes, in terms of everything that a young quarterback may need to rely on is going to be whoever ends up in that second tight end spot. And I, for one, am voting it that it's not Demetrius Harris, but whoever that ends up being.
I think Are you sure it's not going to be Are you sure it's not going to be the slot receiver?
I honestly don't know, especially if we're talking early in the season. What do we have? The Chiefs play Chargers and Broncos in the first quarter of the season, don't they?
That sounds right.
Because if you're talking about a slot guy, you're talking about Chris Harris. And that's not going to go very well. The only guy that I think can do well against Chris Harris is probably Chris Conley. And that's on routes where he can use his body. So I think that the second tight end, and good Lord, if they can come out in that old ace formation, single back, double tight end, attached to the line, and allow defenses to think that they're going to run, this is a situation where the play action to the secondary tight end, I think, is going to pay them dividends all season long.
Well, don't get too excited because, I mean, we're still not talking about your three running back set. So
I'm fired up, man. You see, but it's not very far. You take the two tight ends and you bring them off, make them wings. And now
you see what I started, folks? All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back. Oh, I got to know better and not to start you on that kind of stuff.
Well, but let's talk about it a little bit, because like I said earlier, I think this is a significant opportunity for the game to be different with Mahomes than it was with Smith, in that you have the deep options, but you also have the short options. And I think if they do how I think they're going to do, and that is be a team that looks almost like a Vermeil team, that I think they're going to be able to score very well. And I see them getting out to leads on most teams. And if that does happen, there's a significant opportunity to come back and run six O-linemen or run double tight ends. Use Anthony Sherman to run clock, to do the thing that Andy Reid hasn't been able to do very well because games have been tight with Alex Smith. But if you're up two scores, I think there's an opportunity with what Kareem Hunt has showed you and what solidifying the left guard, no matter who it is, if you can do that, I think you can have enough synergy on that offensive line to be able to run the ball well in the fourth quarter.
Well, and that's a key. If they can do that, that's great for them. I'm not going to hold my breath on it, mainly because Andy Reid hasn't shown that he has the ability to continually do that, even if it's there.
I hate it when he makes sense. So Coach Reid, we got to talk.
So many people do.
Uh-huh. Well, I here's hearkening back to, and if y'all miss it, it's out there on Twitter. I will try to post it back to my timeline.
But hold on, I just have to say, I do like your verb usage there.
Yeah,
that's impressive for a man that can't spell. That's pretty good word usage.
Well, I didn't have to type it.
That's true.
I'll try to link it back to my timeline. But Peter Schrager did a bit on Good Morning Football, specifically on Eric Bieniemy, and the fact that he was such a dynamic player, and what was he, third in Heisman voting, I think is what the segment said, to go on to become either a coordinator of some type or a head coach. And this is where I get hung up in knowing what Eric Bieniemy wants to do and knowing the kind of physical game he wants to play. And I gotta hope that despite years of evidence to the contrary, that I'm going to bury my head in the sand and think that Eric Bieniemy can actually have some effect on Andy Reid.
Here's my issue with that. And yes, I'll use this analogy, even though some people are going to call me crazy. You're basically going to be putting a trailer on your brand new Lamborghini.
I'm down.
Okay.
Horse trailer on a Cadillac. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you completely got what I was referring to there. So
yeah, for sure. But again, if you're out to a lead and you have a guy who wants to run, who wants to be physical like Bieniemy does, I got to hope that it rubs off on Reid a little bit. And not only that, but I think that Eric Bieniemy's influence could come back into play, not only just the run, but obviously because of the run, into some of the time management, especially when they're up. Because we've seen over the last couple of seasons where leading Andy Reid kind of falls apart, just as every Philly fan in the world will tell you, when it comes to managing the clock.
Yep. And it's one of those inexplicable things that just doesn't make sense. For a guy that knows as much as he does, for him to mess that up so bad on so many different occasions, it's just amazing. It's sad, but it's amazing as well.
And folks, we're not trying to run down Andy Reid. Everybody's got weaknesses, and you just got to be able to identify them. He is this team's coach.
Well, and you have to, beyond being able to identify him, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but beyond being able to identify him, you have to be able to say, this is my weakness, and you have to allow somebody to help you. And I think that's where Reid has struggled the most when it comes to clock management, because he really doesn't seem to have acknowledged that that's his weakness, and he needs help.
I agree with you. Even Matt Nagy couldn't do it. Doug couldn't do it. Maybe Eric can. Eric's a different voice, and I'm sorry to talk about him as though I know him personally. I don't. In fact,
but you'd like to.
Eric Bieniemy was third in the Heisman voting the year that I graduated high school. That's how old we are. Sorry, Coach.
No, that's old. You are.
Yeah, okay. I was talking about
him,
Coach Bieniemy, not you.
Okay.
Youngin. Yeah.
Old.
But anyway, but my point is that that is an era that still has some value, as much as everyone wants to say it's a passing league. You know, there was even something that I quoted from Warren Sharp, who is a great football analyst. I appreciate what he does, but out of context, he likes to highlight that guys who prefer to highlight the run game are the ones who end up having losing records and getting fired, except he neglects to include the fact that their offenses stink in general. It's not just because they run the ball poorly. So there is still a large section of this game that is viable in the run.
That's fair. And like I said, Kansas City definitely has their issues that they got to figure out when it comes to the running game and clock management and offense in general. Because when you get up, there's no reason why you should be losing the type of games that they've lost. So they definitely need to get that aspect figured out. And I'm not going to argue with you on that. I just don't know that they're going to go and put a trailer on the new Lamborghini, because I think Reed's pretty excited about what he has in the kid.
And he should be. But do you see him becoming the Belichick step on the throat, win by 35 points?
No. But, I also didn't expect him to go away from Alex Smith.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean,
everybody's got surprises. It kind of fell exactly how I felt it was going to.
That's not what I remember you saying at the time, but that's okay. I don't think that I saw him going out. I think it was a smart move. I'm not trying to say it wasn't, and I am very happy that they had Pat Mahomes as their QB, so I'm not trying to downplay that at all. I'm just simply stating, with as much as he's gone to bat for Alex Smith, I never saw them drafting who they drafted. That night, I never saw it coming.
Gotcha.
I heard rumors. I heard they were interested. I thought, I heard all this, all that. Didn't see it coming.
You know what? Just for fun, we should go repost the show that we did immediately after that happened, because that was an interesting night. And I think when we look back in 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's going to be the night that this franchise took a drastic turn, whether it's for the better or not, because there's still work to be done on this defense. I still think that was the night that this franchise took a turn.
Well, and so I have to ask you the question. What do you think of – and this was brought up – I can't remember who I saw it that was talking about this, but Patrick Mahomes is – they ranked all 32 QBs. Deshaun Watson was number 12. You want to take a guess at what Pat Mahomes was?
He's got to be in the teens somewhere, right?
25.
Wow. Okay, I'm not going to fault that. You know why?
I understand. I don't agree with it at all. I understand the thought process. He hasn't played.
Right. It's all projection.
Right.
One game against Denver is an example. It's not something you can base a projection on, in my opinion. So I'm not going to complain about that. I think realistically, as long as nothing goes awry in terms of his development, as we've seen to this point, I expect him to be in the teens overall.
Yep. I expect him to be in at least in the teens. Well, I high teens, maybe.
Are you talking about quarterback rating, or what kind of measurement are we going to use?
It's a great question, and I don't have an answer right now.
Okay. We need to think about that. And folks, hit us and let us know what you think. How should Patrick Mahomes, for all intents and purposes, a rookie with four quarters of experience, how should we evaluate him as he goes through this season? Maybe QBR, maybe quarterback rating from the NFL, maybe just simply touchdown to interception ratio. I don't know. But hit us on the Twitter account, Locked On Chiefs. Hit us on iTunes if you want to do that. Come leave a comment over on RGR Football. I've got a little bit of my home stuff over there if you haven't seen it yet on YouTube. The links are all in the description there. But how are you going to measure, and how do you think we should measure? Because I think that's something that we should, you know, ruminate on and actually come up with a plan.
Yeah, I think maybe we ought to bring one of our buddies on the show and discuss that with him.
I got a couple of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Goodbye.
Well, folks, thank you for listening. We're getting ideas for more shows, and we will definitely be back with you soon. I hope you guys are enjoying the offseason. Pay attention to what's going on at OTAs, in particular when you hear words from Andy Reid's mouth, because it's going to tell you a lot. It's subliminal, but it's there. And we'll be back with you soon. I think we're going to have a show tomorrow and then all next week. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.